his retirement, AI would be paid $800,000 per year for the rest of his life. Do you hear me? Now, what I need to know is, who is Allen Iverson's agent? Is he still living and breathing? Is there something that he can do for these brothers out there that are in the NBA right now that are spending their money too quickly and going to end up broke? Okay. So he gets $800,000 per year. Now, I'm talking to you. This is 2001. 2001, I know the year because I graduated law school. So that was basically 21 years ago, because I've been a lawyer for 21 years. So AI has been basically being paid $800,000 a year for the rest of his life with no obligations, no expectations, essentially, basically a lifetime pension. The third thing AI had to do to absolutely ensure his financial success in his later years. Now, mind you, I don't know how old I was back in 2001. Well, I was a whole bunch of young and I was in my early 20s. But Reebok put a $32 million in a trust fund that would sit untouched for guess how long, y'all? For the next 29 years. So according to the terms of their deal, AI would inherit the trust fund on June 7th of 2030. So every time there's a June 7th, you guys, you got to think of a couple of things. June 7th, AI is one more year to being $32 million richer. And then you got June 9th, you got to think about Malcolm X's birthday. June 9th, you also got to think about Biggie Smalls. So there's a whole lot of things. So on his 55th birthday, Allen Iverson is basically 2,023 days away from receiving $32 million. Do you hear me? He is only those days away. Because let me tell you something. It's unfortunate that this is exactly what was necessary. Because you know what? He was going to be on 30 for 30 broke. Because guess what? At that $800,000, it looks like Allen Iverson, first of all, the multi-million dollar mansion was foreclosed. He had $360,000 in monthly expenses. He told a judge one time that he was losing $300,000 every month because his monthly income of basically $62,500 was outweighed by his $360K monthly expenses. So that $800,000, y'all, I'm telling y'all how Negroes end up broke and on 30 for 30 broke. Now, let me tell you something. Now, if you're not listening to me very closely and very closely, now, if you don't know anything about me, if you didn't look me up, my first husband played in the NFL. He was a vested veteran. We were married without a prenuptial agreement. He was a multimillionaire. Now, I didn't have any babies from that man because at the time we were married, I was already 1 year out of, no, one month out of law school. But I knew for sure already that based on what my daddy told me, a fool and his money soon part. Now, mind you, back in the days of bopping, I was not a bopper. 3 years before I met my ex-husband, I spent 3 years of law school studying those books. You wanna know why I wasn't a bopper? I was living in Houston. Yes, I was. I wasn't bopping because I was number one in the class after my 1L year of law school because baby mama was going to law school. Ex broke, okay? Super duper broke. Living right over there by the CUNY homes. If you know anything about that, that's the hood. Right over there by Texas Southern University. So for 3 years, I had my nose to the books. I graduated magna cum laude, president of the Phi Delta Phi Honor Society, dean's list every single semester. So I graduated and I went straight to Dallas, which is where my people are. So I went out there and met him 3 days after me went out there. Next thing you know, he's like, baby, I'm gonna marry you. I said, oh, you are? What does your money look like? Because I just got a job working at the big white people's firm, one of the largest in the world, and I don't have to marry anybody. Oh, no. I didn't really know who he was anyway. My daddy had to say, hey, you know that guy that you was talking to? I just saw him do a multi-million dollar deal with Jerry Jones for the Dallas Cowboys a couple of weeks before you graduated law school. You didn't know who you were out with? I said, no, daddy, but I guess that he's financially sound. Well, let me tell you something. Looks can be deceiving, baby, because let me tell you something about money. The more you have, if you are not trained in any kind of economics when you're growing up, if you take a Negro from the hood and you give him $1 million, he may have aspirations of wanting to invest. He may have aspirations of wanting to become an entrepreneur. He may have aspirations of wanting to invest in stocks and bonds and stuff instead of trust accounts to make sure his money would last the rest of his lifetime. But let me tell you something about $5 million a year. And let me tell you what $5 million up front. Let me tell you what making a couple of million dollars every Sunday direct deposited into your JP Morgan Chase Bank Texas account looks like. Well, if you're going to go ahead and pay everybody in your professional athlete entourage, okay? Now, mind you, I'm speaking from experience. I don't judge Allen Iverson because I've seen what that money looks like. And I've seen what people who get that type of money in your 20s that have not had the advantages of white privilege and have not grown up but with their parents that already had a trust fund set up for the child before the child came out of the womb. See, white people teach the power of economic empowerment to their children at birth. They teach them how to invest their money. They're teaching them about economics in kindergarten. They learn how to count their money and they learn how to save 10% of everything they own. See, I learned to save 10% of everything I bring coming in my life from my grandmother, who was very wealthy and who had lots and lots and lots of properties and who used to be a maid, and she got fired when the house owner realized that my grandma was driving a Cadillac and she didn't need to work and her house was bigger than hers. But my grandma learned from it early on, you have to save 10% of everything that you make. And then the other 10% you're going to tithe. So this is not what was taught to boys from the hood who make it good in the NFL and in the NBA. So when you see, as a person who was married to a baller, no, I didn't have to have no baby to get him to marry me. No. He proposed after meeting me for only 15 minutes. Yes. We got married after only 2 months, and I didn't even need to even be pregnant. Do you hear me? At the same time, I met him when I was studying for the bar, and I passed the bar, and I was already making his six-figure salary on day one. Okay, so that means me being a baby lawyer in 2001, making $150,000 a year when I was just my first job out of law school before the bar results even came back in October, on October 31st. I started my job on September the 9th of 2001. 2 days later was September the 11th. And so when you think about it, if I end up marrying somebody a month later, after September the 11th, and my advice to him on the day of September the 11th, my smart black parents who were college educated taught me how to save, taught me how to make sure, take all of your grandmother's knowledge, pay off all your debts, live as debt-free as possible, live below your means, never become house broke. For those of you who don't know what house broke means, make sure that you both don't buy a house that maxes out your income so you don't have to be stuck at that house to where it either you or your husband loses your job or for some reason becomes debilitated and cannot work, then it only takes one income to pay all of those bills. If you spend all your money trying to impress the Joneses down the street, trying to buy your big old house in River Oaks, trying to buy your big old house in Beverly Hills or all y'all's rich neighborhoods or in Cedar Creek or wherever the places that you live in all around these places with all these white people who actually have money to live in those rich neighborhoods. All you black folks out there buying these 10,000 square foot mansions talking about I got it like that, and you drive around in these Bentleys and stuff talking about I got it like that. Well, you look like a fool to me, because guess what? The richest white people, you can't tell how much money they got because they don't need to show you how much money they got, because they know that the smart plan is to invest your money and to sit on it, to live below your means, drive a car below your ability. Let me tell you something. I'm on my third S-Class and my third one is paid off and it's already got 140,000 miles on it and it still works very well and I'm going to keep on driving it. If I got to put another engine in it, I will. But what I learned is you don't need to buy fancy cars. Now, everybody didn't learn that. So when I'm taking this knowledge and I'm with a person who is basically from the hood, I'm not talking medium hood. I'm talking about gutter ghetto. You know, I'm okay with gutter ghetto. I'm not a judgmental person. I wasn't raised to believe that I was better than anybody else. I wasn't really raised to believe my ex-husband didn't get to graduate from college. Nope. He just went straight to the NFL. Now, here's the thing you need to know about college. College teaches you things. You know, when LeBron James, Kobe Bryant went straight out of high school, straight to the NBA, they had to have some very, very, very good financial advisors around them meant to protect their interests, because they were coming from straight out of high school and may not have gotten the notion to invest or save, but at that range, they had the right kind of endorsement deals. And I'm assuming that because LeBron James was as smart as he was, that he had the right kind of contracts. Because so Allen Iverson having $32 million that he doesn't get for years down the road, now we know that he cannot live on an $800,000 a month, a year salary, where he receives $62,500 a month. Do you hear me? That is exactly what systemic racism, the effects of financial racism, the effects of holding Black people down in any way you can by failing to teach them economic empowerment at the ages of pre-K 3 and pre-K 4, that's what I'll be talking about today. So you're going to be tuned in here. I'm going to tell you a lot of the things that you probably didn't know. You probably didn't know we're celebrating Juneteenth, which means I got to give you some Black talk. I got to give you some economic empowerment talk. And I'm going to give you some old nuggets of information from what I learned while growing up in an all Black household, where on my dad's side of the family, they were landowners. I'm not talking about these little shotgun. I'm not talking about these little properties that y'all trying to be out here buying. When y'all say, I'm going to go flip a house. I found a little house that was foreclosed. It was $20,000. I'm going to put some money in. I'm going to invest it and make 10. No, I'm talking about my father's family in North Carolina owned thousands of acres of farmland. They farmed their own land. They had their own chicken coops. They sold their product to the white grocery stores. Do you hear me? My dad's side of the family up in North Carolina, which that's what my daddy graduated from, North Carolina A&T. So let me tell you something about Black people. If you are a person that's listening to me today, I need you to bring your kids into the room. We're not going to be talking about sex, drugs, and rock and roll today. We're going to be talking about what you need to know as Black folks in light of the Juneteenth celebration that's coming up. Because I want you to mark this Juneteenth as the time that you are going to start thinking Black, and thinking money, Black money. All right? I'll be right back. Woo, woo, woo. So now that you're in the outtake, you get to hear exactly, my hair, listen, my hair, I don't have a relaxer, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a humid day in Houston, and I always prefer to wear wigs and weaves because my hair is very fine, you know, like baby fine hair, you know, I mean, so I like to wear other hair because I don't like a whole bunch of curls and stuff, but anyway, I'm talking because, you know, if I have a firsthand account of what it looks like when Black people who have not been trained in economic empowerment and have not been trained from an early on what to do with their money. It's kind of like this. When Black people win the lottery, they go broke after the first couple of years. Do the research. I did the research already. You don't have to do it. You can trust me. I'm smart. They already go broke. They give it all away, blow it on dumb stuff, take care of an entourage, pay off their friends' debts, give out loans like they're the new bank. When they're athletes and they get their money, they never had nothing. They made all these promises to the people in the hood that once I make it, that I'm going to have you on my team. Then once they feel like they got millions, they think $1 million is a lot of money. $1 million is not a lot of money when Uncle Sam is going to take 35% off the top, baby doll. 35% off of the top. So your $1 million, you really don't even have. You can just start off with $725,000. Okay, now you got your $725,000. That's fine. Well, for some reason, people that don't have the knowledge base for money, they have the thought that they will always be able to make money like that. They have no idea that what happens is it's not hard. I've amassed millions of dollars over my legal career and over my lifetime. Because I've been working since I was 14 years old. If you want to know exactly how much money you have had go through your hands, all you need to do is go to the irs.gov and go ahead and go find your local IRS government office. And if you live in Houston, there is one right over there where you have to go get your Social Security cards. You know what I'm talking about? There's one on the south side right over there by the Texan Stadium. It's called, what is it called? NRG Park?
NRG Stadium.
Right over there at NRG Stadium. That's where I used to have my law office when I was spending all much money on rent. But anyway, you go over there to the tax office. See, my daddy worked for the IRS, all right? So when you come from, when you come from smart people, my daddy graduated summa cum laude from North Carolina A&T, baby. He met my mama at Prairie View. And I'm, let me tell you this. When you meet somebody back in, I don't know the date that my mom and daddy met, but it was my mom's freshman orientation. My mom was smart. Joyce Davis, I'm going to let y'all know the reason why, and I'm going to save that information for when I'm back on the air, but the reason why you have to know that the ESPN 30 for 30 is a real, true thing. And you'd be like, how is it that dude got a contract from Nike for $50 million? He got $20 million up front. What did I? Well, let me tell you something. Here's what they don't teach Black people back then. Or even now, Black athletes. And I'm saying this as a firsthand experience. This ain't no secondhand. I ain't got to read this. Let me tell you what happened. And when I watched 30 for 30 broke, when they first started their series, it was after I had already divorced my ex-husband and I took half. Do you hear me?
30 seconds.
I took half and I didn't have no kids. Because I'm smart. And I also know when to get out. Get out while the getting is good, baby. You don't leave when Rome has burned to the ground. No, no. You got to leave at the top of the money. So you can take it with you out the door. I got to go back on because I want to tell this story one time.
You're listening to Attorney Nyan Zamour on 95.3 Jams.
Oh, I forgot to do my, yeah, I forgot. Hey, Tess.
You are on.
Okay. All right, everybody, I'm back. So, I left you all with just a little bit of information. So we're talking about how Black people, when they are not raised from an early age to appreciate the necessity of economic empowerment. Let me tell you something. I learned in my family. Now I told you, my dad's family had dollars. Okay. Now, rich meaning there are three ways that you need. This is what white kids are taught. And this is how I was taught. There are three ways to make it in America. Number one, have your own land. You must own land. You must own property as much as you can. That's number one. That is the single most, accessible way to grow economic wealth is by land ownership. Because what happens to land? The value of land always goes up. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening to me? When you're buying your Bentley, you hood rich hoodlum, your Bentley, the moment you drive it off the lot and go get it tricked out somewhere, and as soon as you leave Johnny Dang's buying your gold chain, or as soon as you leave Jacob the jeweler buying your diamond chain, well, your Bentley goes down in value from the moment you sign the contract and drive it off the lot. If you changed your mind after buying your Bentley and drove it around the block for 2 weeks and decided you didn't want it anymore, you wanted to sell it back to Bentley, you're going to lose at least $10,000. Do you hear me? Automobiles are not a wise investment. That's why, like I told you, I have a 2013 S550 Mercedes with 140, maybe 147,000 miles because I drive it like a beast because it's paid off. I don't need another car. That's my third S-Class. Let me tell you something. Since 2002, I have only driven S-Class Mercedes-Benzes that's it. I've only driven S-Classes. Now, I learned that, I would have just paid them off. But, I happen to like to drive into floods and let my car float. So the last one, it floated on in one of the torrential rainstorms, one of those 100-year floods that got flooded out. Anyway, I digress. So don't spend your money buying a Bentley. Here's what you need to know about cars. And I know, we love the floss. I know, we all want to drive some foreign whips. I'm driving one. I love all the bells and whistles. But here's the thing. You must always remember that if you're going to get a luxury car, you have to have the capital. If you're going to get a luxury car, you should never lease a car. I know some of you leasers, y'all are lessors, or y'all love to, oh no, I'm going to lease a car because I like to have a new car. I don't like to drive an old whip. I like to trade my car in every 3 or 4 years so I can drive a new. Well, you know what? That's thinking dumb. That's thinking hood rich. Okay? That's not the way you need to think. I just heard one of my girlfriends say that stuff to me at the Mercedes-Benz dealership when she was up there looking for a new car. She's like, oh, I'm trying to buy a new car. I said, why, girl? I said, I'm over here with my same old raggedy, my car has not a single door ding in it. It looks like it's in mint condition because I keep it that way. I said, I'm not buying a new car. I don't buy new cars. I said, all of my car, we don't have a car note in our household. That's not what we believe in. We're going to drive until the wheels fall. We're going to drive until Mercedes says, okay. We refuse to service a car that has 500,000 miles. And I'm so glad to see one of my friends, Eddie Machete, who is actually, now dropped his name real quick. I don't know if he wanted me to do it, but I went and bought my Mercedes S-Class from Eddie Machete, and I paid it off already, maybe what, in October of last year. So when you think about it, I'm going to drive that car forever, even though I could afford to buy a new car. Let me tell you something. I had a little, listen, this is the wrong thing in the black people. When I went to go pick up my son, now, I'm not even going to talk about picking up my son right now. Let me take you back to a conversation that I had. The time I bought the Benz, okay? Now, about economic empowerment. Women, black women especially, you need to have your own money. Period. You are not of the space, unless you are married to a billionaire, where you need to not have a job. Do you hear me? If you are a black woman, I'm not talking to you white women, because you all know you have been set up to get your MRS. Every white girl I ever encountered at Texas A&M University, including my freshman roommate, Mara, who was a white girl, blonde girl from Houston, who had never really even talked to a black girl that much, had said that, you know, the white girls in her family were taught to get your MRS. They go to college to get their MRS, not to get a whole bunch of degrees. Black women are taught to go get your degree, blah, 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 whatever. And then black people, black women especially, have gotten caught up somewhere in their heads that they need to be housewives. Watching all this bullcorn malarkey about all these fake black women on television, that they're living these, now they call it aspirational lifestyles. What they're showing you is how to stay economically broke for the rest of your lives. Because I ain't never seen so many black women on all these shows driving around in Rolls Royces and Bentleys like it's going out of style. One of the black women got two of them. She got like a full size sedan. I don't even know if that's what you call them. Got all the thing with the glitter up in the top of the ceiling. And then she also got a white one with a navy blue top. And I'm like, listen, me. Let me tell you something. I'm more impressed if you go buy a house every time you get a check from Andy Cohen at Bravo. If you go out there, you got your own house that you're living in. I don't need no more. Why does she buy Sheree need to buy a multi-million dollar mansion when she don't have no kids that live at home? Why does she need to buy a multi? Who is she trying to impress? The people out there on TV land that don't even know her? Why are you trying to impress people that you don't like and that you don't even know by having some type of big old house that you can talk about how rich you are when actually you're not rich? You're not rich. No, you're not. Because you're a house broke. That's what I was trying to tell you at the beginning. Now, she brought Sheree. She's house broke because it took her 100 years to go ahead and build that house. Now, let me tell you something. Any woman that is begging a dude for child support, and I'm telling you this, women, you're going to be upset. You're going to be upset. If you're buying a Bentley, go take it back. You're not going to get as much money back. But if you did not pay cash for your Bentley, or if you did not have a Bentley where you could pay that joint off in 2 years, and you only needed to pay it off in 2 years because you decided to buy two extra investment properties at the same time, and you have a business and you can put that Bentley in your business's name and it can be paid off, then you're building up your business credit, okay? And remember, you got your own house. If your own house is a house that's just enough for you to live in, you don't have to be in 1,500 million, billion, trillion square feet, you fool. I got two children. I don't have no 5,000 square foot mansion. No, because my husband and I were taught the same thing when we were growing up by our parents, because we grew up with parents that understood the value of the dollar and what to impart to your children so they can always be wealthy just in case their parents predeceased them. And let me tell you something, my husband's parents, my husband's family taught him, don't you be house broke. Well, they didn't say don't you be, they didn't use double negatives, but they said, you don't need to overspend on a home. You don't need, if you have friends that are only impressed by the size of your house or the kind of car that you're driving, those aren't the friends that you need. Because those are basically deciding to have a lot of Joneses around you that they can't even keep up with the Joneses, but they're making you feel like you need to keep up with the Joneses to impress them. Now, my husband, my second husband, who I'm still married to today, shout out to my husband, but my husband grew up with the same economic morals. That's what I call it. Economic morals. You don't spend more than you make. Matter of fact, you got to keep more. You got to make sure that at every single end of every single month, you be like, I don't really have anything to pay for except for this mortgage, the electric, the phone, and the cable. That's it. Soon as I can figure out a way not to pay, I figured out a way not to pay for cable. Yes, I did. Now I do streaming services. I did the math on that. I haven't had cable for 4 years. Okay. Now, let me tell you something. If you are economically empowered, it means that when the pandemic hit, you were a Black person. If you did not spend more than you make, or if you weren't one of those type of people, and let me just use my profession as an example, okay? I'm not a hater, and I'm not saying these things because I don't know them. I've seen Black wealth done from people who are second generation from slavery. Remember, I told you my dad's family was rich. Let me tell you what Black rich means. They had thousands of acres. They sold their crop to the white stores, like the white farmers did. Do you hear me? They made so much money. They had so much land that they had their own street. Do you hear me? The street name was named after them. They had their own street and so much land that they built houses for all of the people in the family, the children, the whoever the children married, and they wise. Okay, go ahead and build your house over there on that acre. You build your house over there on that acre over there. So what does that mean? That means that all of those people in my dad's family, thank God I'm a benefactor of an academician, of somebody who could graduate summa cum laude from North Carolina A&T, who was raised up by people. Let me tell you something. My dad's sister, my great-great auntie, she pledged Delta back in the 20s. Do you hear me? She was married to Jethro Branch. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I'm a country bumpkin. I'm the kind of person that makes home fries and I put syrup on potatoes, okay? So now, I'm a country girl, and I learned, I was raised where every time we went to North Carolina to go visit my dad's side of the family, I was going to visit a place where everybody owned everything that looked like me. In the mornings, I would go with Unc Big Jeff, who was married to Aunt B. Yes, Aunt Beatrice, we call her Auntie. Beatrice was married to Jethro. Beatrice and Jethro had a mansion in the middle of their huge farm. And then when we were up there for the summers, we would go with Big Jeff and take the tractor down to the chicken coop, baby. And I was in the chicken coop at 6 years old, getting all of the eggs out. Do you hear me? All those eggs would be loaded up on these big, huge trucks, and I never saw the eggs again. I went back on the tractor down the dirt road that my family owned and go back and go take the personal chickens and go deck and see the hogs that had to be slaughtered. My aunt B would take a chicken out there and say, you know what? I'm going to go have some chicken this afternoon. We're going to fry some chicken up. She'd be like, they go out there, pick out a chicken, Nyanza. I would go pick out a chicken. She would go out there, pick up that chicken and pop that neck real good. And we would watch that chicken's body run around. It didn't bother me. Because guess what that also meant? All of the food came from the very same farm that was owned by my family. Okay, they were generating Black wealth for generations to make sure that so long as my family lived in North Carolina, they never, ever, ever had to worry about getting a mortgage from a bank. They never, ever, ever had to go worry about buying any additional land from anybody else. They never had to worry about the racism. All they had to worry about was making sure that their chickens could keep on producing those eggs, make sure that those cornfields were always shucked, and make sure that everything they grew was able to make a profit. Now, when you're rich like that and you have a son, and my aunt Beatrice was like, okay, well, my daddy's dad, John Arthur Vaughn, was part Native American. All right. So my dad was part Native American. Well, when you have a Black family that's got a whole lot of money back then, let's just say we're in the 50s. My daddy was like, I don't want to go to North Carolina A&T. Why would I want to have to go to a school in the state? So no, he said, I want to go to Prairie View so I can meet me a Black woman down from the South. Let me see what they're doing down there in Texas. So back then, my family put my daddy on an airplane. Do you hear me? Everybody black back then wasn't broke down Jim Crow South and laid to the side. Don't let the white people tell you that you come from crap. Because let me tell you, there's a whole lot of black people that come from money. And it was generated at the time when the only way black people could make money was if they created their own economic wealth. And if you owned your own land, you could make your land make you money. You could grow the crop. You could build houses. You could do things. You could lease property out to the government. You could do all those kinds of things. So that's what my dad's side of the family did. So I'm going to cut to commercial and let you know, after my daddy was able to be flown down to PV with a whole bunch of loot, I'm going to tell you exactly, once my dad infiltrated Texas, I'm going to tell you what kind of wife he was looking for. You know, because men that come from stuff like that, they can't marry some hood rat girl because they're not going to know how to deal in black economics. They're not going to understand how to make sure they always have money. Black men like that, that come from something, need to marry a black woman to whom they are equally yoked. And when they meet that black woman's parents, he got to make sure that her parents were teaching her the right thing. Not trying to get everything on your back, not by dressing like a hoe, not by giving it up on the first day. No, by being able to speak fluent French. Yes, my mother spoke fluent French because she went to high school in Paris, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, she did. My black grandparents on my mama's side raised their children in France. I'm gonna come back out to you right after these messages. See, you didn't hear about this because let me tell you something. It's a whole lot of black folks that need to hear this message about how we doing it out here in the South. I'm gonna try to teach you some things that's gonna make you rich. So tune back in after these messages. So let me tell you something. So from my partially Native American dad, okay, to my probably, I'm probably at least by now, I guess, marry my mama. She's straight black. I don't think she has any Native American in her, just my dad's side. So I may be 1/16. So if I wanted to, I could go ahead and file my application and go ahead and change my identity on my U.S. passport and change my identity on my birth certificate. And since Negroes are not getting any of the reparations that they are due, I could go ahead and trace my lineage back. I don't need to go to Ancestry.com. The proof is in who came here and where were they. Because guess what? All the Cherokee, all those other Native American tribes, they were up there in North Carolina in the Black Hills. You know, when they say the Tar Heels, when they say all that, those were the natives. I'm saying native because since I'm the Indians, okay? So the reality is this. Men, and I always talk, and I'm trying to let you all know something today. We're getting ready for Juneteenth. And I want you, if you are a black person that is out there that doesn't have an employment, then you need to make sure you listen to me. You need to stop waiting on these white folks to hire you for a job. The only way for you to be broke proof, did you hear me? To be broke proof, just like windows are shatterproof. In order to be broke proof, the only thing you can do is own your own business. You must own your own business. So those are the three things that white people learn, that I learned from my parents. You must own your own land. That's number one. You must be an entrepreneur.
30 seconds.
All right. You must, after that, invest your money. You give 10% to the Lord and Savior, whoever church you're going to, but you better tithe because you got to pay it forward with God so he's not pissed off at you. Okay. Then that other 10% you're going to save. All right. Because remember, if you own your own business back there in the 40s, and in the 50s and the 60s, you ain't had no 401k. So you had to stack your loot. Are we back? Let me get one. Hold on.
You are on.
Are y'all getting this? Y'all ready? Y'all gonna let it, sir. Okay, so we're back. So now let me tell you something. So when you are a black man, and let's say, I don't know, I'm gonna have to ask my mama what year she went to PB, but a black man that comes from a family, or let's just say even if he didn't come from a family like that, like my daddy's, okay? If you didn't come from a family that was raising you up like that, well, let me tell you something. All black people by now should know how to read. You need to choose to read the right things. Because you know what they always say? Anything you want to hide from a black person, just put it in a book. Because they ain't going to read. Slaves were not given the permission to read Okay? They were, if a white person was teaching a slave the alphabet or how to read, that white person would get whipped at the pole. Do you hear me? Because they knew if the black man could read, then he would be able to read the truth. He would be able to read how to empower himself economically. Now, I'm gonna get off that. Let me go back to Prairie View. So my daddy comes down to PV. Now, when he's at Prairie View, my daddy was a cat daddy, all right? You know, those alpha males have to be running around the campus. He was an upperclassman, all right? Now, just know that Prairie View, if you don't know, I shouldn't say Prairie View. That's what you say when your parents are married at Prairie View. Let me tell you something. At PV, Prairie View is a land-grant college that was created when Texas A&M was created. A land-grant college means that the state funds the bill and gives land for you to create a university academic system, advanced degree, so that you can have a place for people to go. So the university gets it. It's a state school. So at the same time, Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas, used to be called Texas AMC, Texas Agricultural and Mechanical College. Okay. Prairie View, I don't know if it was Prairie View AMC. I don't know. I would just call it a PV because, you know, I'm black. I don't even know if it was any other name. So, my daddy went to PV coming from a wealthy landowning black family who was not accustomed to white people down here in the South telling black folks that they ain't about crap and telling black folks that they can't have nothing. And my daddy came down here wondering, why was all these black folks running around here broke asking for money from white people? So what did he do? My smart black daddy called all the North Carolina folks and said, hey sis, that's Aunt B, Jethro, there's land in Texas. Y'all might need to go ahead and come down here, some land out here. They got some land out here. Well, guess what happens? If you have somebody that just tells you one time that there is land available and you are being raised the same way white people raise their white privileged children, because here's the thing, when land is available, if you are a black person who has been saving 10% of everything that you make, and if you are a black person who's like has a beauty shop or a barber shop or a car wash or a shoe shine business or a daycare or anything out there where you're making your own money and you've been saving your 10% for years, then when the time comes, when somebody says there's land out here that you can buy in Texas, because you know they used to not let black folks buy land. Do you hear me? So just understand this. At the time when they were not allowing black people to buy land, my black daddy told his people back in North Kakalaki, there's a place you can buy land out here in Texas. And what did those people do up in North Carolina? Say, okay, we're going to send somebody down there. So my Jethro's sister, Hattie Des Boyne, said, okay, Ernest. Now, everybody was sending the money and plane tickets down for my daddy to go to college at Prairie View since he wanted to go to out-of-state school, blah, 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 whatever. And he was a cat daddy since he was an upperclassman when my mama was a freshman. I'm trying to give you this background to the foreground, so I'm telling you, it's not too late for you to be economically empowered. I want you to make a claim that you are going to be debt-free from this Juneteenth to the next Juneteenth from June 19th, 2022 to June 19th of 2023. I want you to promise that you are going to become debt-free aside from your mortgage and student loan, okay, you will be debt-free. If you can say that as a black person, or even as a, listen, I'm only talking to black folks today. If you're somebody out there that's poor, that's the other, check that box too, but I'm really talking to black people because I'm saying this by Juneteenth. From Juneteenth to Juneteenth, you need to make a deal with yourself to be debt-free. I'm going to tell you why. So at the end of this, you're going to hear why, but I need you to understand that my dad only had to tell his family one time there's land out here in Texas that some black folks can buy. Guess how my daddy knew? Well, let me tell you how. Well, my mother is one of four children born to my grandmother who I told you all she was cleaning houses. But let me tell you something. She was cleaning houses. And so that means if you're cleaning rich white people's houses, you have your own business. Okay. So you're an entrepreneur. She also had a cosmetology degree. It wasn't even really no degree because back in, she was born in 1921. And by the time she started doing hair, she was doing pressing curls in 1935. Okay. So she's doing pressing curls in 1935. And then born in Pendleton, Texas. Pendleton only has 6 people from Pendleton. And of the 6 people, one of them was my grandma on my mama's side. That's my mom's mom, who is now deceased. Now, I'm talking about these deceased people because these deceased people that I'm telling you about, all of them died not living in a nursing home. All of them lived being able to leave 4 and 5 different houses that they owned, that they used to give out as rental properties, okay, to the family. All of them had land, acres and acres and acres and acres, that all of the children and the heirs and the grandchildren, I'm a grandchild, okay? So I take from 2 different people, my daddy's side of the wealth and my mama's side of the wealth. Thank you, Jesus, that my mama is still alive. Mama, I love you. I want you to keep you forever. But anyway, they taught me everything to be rich, so I don't need the land anyway. But my daddy met my mama because my mama, see, my daddy had already seen the girls at Prairie View. Now, let me tell you something. You women out there that are sending your freshman daughters out there to these black schools, these HBCU schools, I'm glad you're sending your black daughters out there. I'm glad you're sending your black sons out there. But if you didn't send them out there to be able to look for a mate where the mate that they're trying to couple with, which could possibly turn out to be their husband in the long run or their wife in the long run, you need to make sure they couple with somebody who is economically and financially sound and that comes from a position where they were taught at an early age the power of money, the power of land ownership, the power of entrepreneurship, the power of making sure that you do not rely on government assistance for anything in your life, that you do not rely on affirmative action for anything that you need in your life. You may not rely on it, but you can definitely be the benefactor and have the benefits of coming from it as a black person. Whatever you need to tell the white people that are giving the jobs out. If you, black women are in style right now, well, we are in style right now. Black men are not in style. You never since George Floyd, black people were in style, so maybe you need to go ahead and check off black where they see you want to say your race, check it off. Back in the day, you don't need to check, just don't check nothing. Don't let anybody know you're black if you got a white folks name. You know, I tell my husband all the time, we named our kids Kennedy and Lincoln. That's as white as you can get. President Abraham Lincoln, President Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, spell like the presidents, because I'm Nyanza. But guess what? My parents were raised to be economically empowered, to make sure that they were always going to have money, to make sure they didn't end up in some government assistance area where they had to be in a nursing home. The elderly people in my family, no, they always are able to have people that come to their house and give them everything they need. If they become immobile, they've got a barber, they've got a housekeeper, everybody that serviced them. The people in my family were all people that owned their own businesses. Nobody retired from working for white people in my family. My dad retired from the United States government because what his family taught him was, you need to marry a woman who's got the same thoughts about money as you, who comes from a good family with the same value system as you, who loves God like you do, and who understands that you all need to make sure that your children are raised a certain way and with economic empowerment in mind in light of all of the racism that your children will encounter. You must pay it forward for your black children so they never have to rely on white people. So remember, my parents are old. My parents didn't have, listen, all these mamas around here running around here having babies at 13 and 14. Some of these women are turning 40 and their daughters turning 20. I'm not one of those people. My mom and dad didn't have their first kid until my sister, they got married after they had my sister 5 years after they were married. Okay. My older sister was born. Then they didn't have me until 5 years after that. Then they didn't have my little sister until 5 years after that. And do you want me to tell you why? It was specifically because they were raised to say, number one, you don't have babies until you're married. Okay, that's number one. The first way of guaranteeing that you will not be able to be economically empowered is by having a child when there's not 2 incomes to support the child. Because if you don't have 2 incomes, actual joint incomes, I'm not talking about child support. I'm talking about a money coming in from a daddy. That is married to the mama, where there's one mortgage, where 2 people are working to pay off the mortgage, where two people are working to make sure that the mortgage is so small that one person doesn't have to work for the man. One person doesn't have to work on the plantation. One person must have their own business while somebody else works on the plantation in the marriage. So that if one person is still on the plantation, that automatically sets them up. If they're working for the United States government, it sets them up with a pension. Do you hear me? They can't take the pension away from you so long as you have the hours. And also, in light of systemic racism and racist hiring practices, so long as you are working for the government, the government cannot discriminate against you, you black folks. While you're around here running around, see which white people y'all can work for, you better be looking on usjobs.gov so you can find a government job. The government has to hire you no matter if you're 80 years old with a face full of dentures or if you're a person walking around with a wooden leg and a kickstand. They cannot discriminate against you because it's federal and they're going to make, and they can't fire you easily. Let me tell you something. I've represented people who were trying to sue their job, who work for the United States government. Do you hear me? So at the end of the day, you need a job that can't fire you for being black or too old or too whatever or too woke. That's only the United States government. That was back in the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s. Did you hear me? So my daddy went into the, so here's what you learned. As a black person back then, you don't even have to do it. Now, right now I would say, do not sign up for the United States military if you are black. Do you hear me? There's still racism in the United States military, but here's what I learned. From my family, because now I'm being raised by my mama. My mom's background is this. Being with a mom, my grandmother from Pendleton, Texas, they only had six people, I told y'all, and three of them, they moved from Pendleton down to Killeen. If you know anything about Texas, the largest military base in the United States is in Fort Hood. That's right next to Killeen. So in Killeen, if you have the largest military base, then that's the place where the black men, if you didn't come from landowners, then you can sign up for the military. At the time, they were trying to give black men some type of benefit. If you sign up for college, if you sign up for the United States military, then you will, under the GI Bill, you will be able to have your college tuition paid for. Do you hear me? So now, here's how that plays out. During the time where my daddy is being a cat daddy, banging all the heavyweight broads down there at Prairie View, all of those girls on their backs, they say, well, I'm about to marry Ernest. Ooh, he come from money. I can tell he's rich. He got a plane ticket that takes him home every 2 weeks. Blah, 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 blah. I heard he got a whole bunch of land. Blah, 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 blah. Well, my daddy may have stabbed a couple of them. You know, I'm talking a little bit of slang. He may have stabbed a couple of them, but they were not going to be wifey material. They were not going to be somebody that's going to get on the airplane in 1960 and fly back to North Carolina and be introduced to Jethro and Little Jeff and Beatrice Branch and Hattie. No, they were not. Because guess what? As an upperclassman, that my daddy was like, even though we got all these newly college educated people that are coming out here that have parents that can afford to send them to college at Prairie View, what my daddy was looking for was a woman who was about her business. And a woman who wasn't a hoe, and a woman who believed in God, and a woman who came from a family that understood the economic empowerment of wealth, and a woman who understood marrying a man who already had money because she had money. So let me tell you this. Now, Killeen and Fort Hood, look at your geography. It's right over there. If you're driving like you're going to Baylor University, go south on 35, further south than Baylor, you're going to hit Temple, Texas. That Temple, Texas is where I was raised up because Temple was bigger than Belton. Belton was next to Killeen. Killeen is Fort Hood. So the people in Fort Hood are military. The black men in Fort Hood, well, the black people out there, those military men, that automatically meant they got government benefits. They automatically were going to be able to get out of college and have the U.S. government pay for the university of the college. So if you didn't come from a landowner family, you didn't have to worry about education. Everybody black back then should have got a degree. I'm going to cut to commercial right then. I'm going to tell you how it is that my mom and her siblings bypassed the racism of Jim Crow Dirty South in Texas, which in Texas, knowing Juneteenth, if they were the last people to say the folks were free from slavery, you know that Texas had to be one of the most racist states in the union. I'm going to tell you how it is that my black mama did not have to be out here with all the people with that segregation. Be right back. So, here's how it went down. Because I'm going to give them the short version on the air. So my mom's mom from Pendleton, okay, first generation, her dad was, my grandma's dad was a slave. Then after that, we used to call him Papa. After that, he became a sharecropper. That was the first entry. He couldn't read or write, but he and his wife had five children. So he was a sharecropper, and with the money that he made sharecropping, he was able to buy land in areas where nobody wanted to live. And all the land that he bought ended up being large enough to where all of his children, which was my grandmother, were able to build their own houses on the flat. They had their own flat in Belton, Texas, that they still have in our family to this day in Belton, Texas, okay? The flat is what Papa bought so that all my grandma and her five siblings got to go ahead and live on. And they got to have their spouses that they married. So what happens? They all have their own houses. So my thing was, since they're living next to Killeen and Fort Hood, all the women in my family were good looking women. I'm just telling you, they were all brick houses, big old booty, big old boobs, itty bitty waist. That's just what they had. They were always smart, and they were the kind of women that could talk crap like the rest of them. They could play the dozens like the rest of them, and they didn't need a man for nothing. And they were also, every single woman on my mother's side of the family was married. None of them had children out of wedlock because they understood there was no economic empowerment from being a single parent. Okay? Back then, women, landowners, was not a dime a dozen, you know? However, but guess what? But my grandma was like, okay, well, I'm a woman. Me and my sisters, we gonna own our own land since we learned how to buy land. So what did my grandma do? She bought her own land, and instead of being on the flat, when she got married, she was married for four times, mind you. She had a first husband at 14. You know, it was a marriage of economics. And then she said, oh, I'm not ready for this. She got a divorce. Then she got married. The next guy popped her in the mouth. She had to divorce him because he was a beater. Then the next guy after that, she married. Unfortunately, Comet, he blew up. All right? He blew up when they were having a family barbecue in the backyard. It was a fire that blew him up. But guess what economic empowerment means? If you have insurance and you have life insurance, which is what you're taught, then you don't have to worry, because if your husband that you're so in love with, that you already have some children with, blows up, you have a windfall of money coming your way, baby. And if you were already raised to get that loot, then my grandma was sitting on an M back then. So what did she do? She built a nice little old McMansion, bought 5 acres of her own in the White area. Go back. Ready? Water's good.
You are on.
All right, everybody, I'm back. So I'm going to tell you this. So when my mom's side of the family, they had the flat from the sharecropping grandpa. He taught them all about economic empowerment. You got to own your own stuff. He built a house for all the children to live right there on the flat. They never had to be worried about the white folks. They never had to go into the racist parts of the white town because they lived and worked on their own places. And so they either did this. One of my grandmother's sisters, she bought her own group home. Yeah. She had a 2-story house like in Benjamin Button's. When you saw the black woman that had all of the military men stay at the room house, that's what my auntie did. So my grandma's sister, she had a rooming house. So all of the black military people coming in from Fort Hood who were not allowed to stay at the white places, she had her own boarding house, so they all stayed there. Well, that's one way of economic empowerment. Because remember, she already had her own land that she owned. She built her own 2-story house on it, baby. Do you hear me? Renting out the rooms to the privates that were coming in that only had to rent for black women. That's a business in and of itself. She's going to always have the money coming in. That's one sister. The other sister, well, let me say, my grandma said, okay, well, my husband blew up. My grandmother's third husband caught on fire, but with economic empowerment, you know that you better have a whole bunch of insurance. So she had a huge life insurance policy on the man that she loved. She already had some children. My mom, listen, his name was Comet. My mom was already here. So my grandmother Andrea had four kids, three boys and one girl, which is my mama, which means she gets it all. Anyway, so he blows up. Great. When my grandma got the money, see, AI and some of these black folks today would have been broke. They would have gotten that money from that life, that death benefit, and they would have gotten that money from whatever insurance she claimed on and spent it all up buying a fancy car. No, that ain't what happened. My grandma bought 5 acres and then she built a mansion on it. And on that mansion, she put it to where all of the doorways were wide enough for a wheelchair. She was thinking like that in her 20s. And so that same mansion that she built, one story mansion on purpose. Let me tell you why. Because my grandmother said, Nyanza, girls, all you children, grandma's going to be old one day. So when you have it, because we said, grandma, why don't you have a two-story mansion? So no, you need a one-story house because one day your legs may not work and you may be in a wheelchair. You want to make sure that you can still go into every single room of your house. You want to make sure that every door frame is wide enough for an extra wide wheelchair. You want to make sure every hallway is already refitted, retrofitted, so that you don't have to do any modifications when you become old because your house is paid off. You're going to live there forever. You're never going to have to move out of your house and you need to pay off your house. I said, okay. So now I get it. So that was forward thinking. So what she did was make it grow because she also bought 5 other properties out there that already had houses on them. Then she bought 2 more properties that didn't have houses on them and built teeny tiny houses on them. And she used all those properties as rent houses. Do you hear me? And she also had a beauty salon. Do you hear me? While she was still cleaning the white folks' houses, because they had no idea that she was sitting on capital. But what she was sitting on enough capital to when she married her next husband, which was my pawpaw, the only pawpaw I was alive to see, she made sure that she married somebody in the military who was already a believer in God. And guess what? He was already ranking. He wasn't no basic GI buck product. No. He was already paid in the shade. So what did he do? He said, I'm going to put in for a transition because you have 4 children. See, my papa didn't have any kids when he met my grandma. But my grandma was such a boss hog, he didn't mind marrying a woman with 4 kids already. Do you hear me? Because when you see a black woman that's got 4 children already, and she already told him, listen, I don't believe in child support. Now, let me tell you something, women out there. That's another little nugget I want to tell you. You may not agree with me, but let me tell you something. If you have a baby, you better have the money to take care of that kid. It is not the responsibility of the father or the sperm donor to pay you child support to take care of a kid that you opted to birth out of your womb. Now that we got different rules in Texas, it's still your fault. Because if you don't have enough money to take care of a child yourself without needing child support, then you shouldn't be having a baby, period. Because the only way to grow economic wealth is to have 2 people that are married that have a baby together. Do you hear me? So having these babies and saying, I need to get some child support from the Negro and being upstairs mad, up there mad on all these stupid, these women up there running around here on the Housewives of Atlanta, running around here complaining about child support and you driving a Bentley. You're a dumb broad. That's what you are, is dumb. So my grandmother always said, the 2 men that I had to go ahead and divorce, I didn't ask for no child support for them. I don't need it. Any baby that I had out of my body, I need to birth it for myself. I need to pay for it myself. So when I met your pawpaw, Nyanza, and this is how she told me, because, you know, I was very, out of all the grandchildren, I was the most inquisitive. That's why probably out of all the grandchildren, I'm the smartest and I was the favorite. Any of my cousins out there, you want to argue that point? Ask God. Ask my grandma. I was the favorite because I used to sit with her all the time. I would put my physical head next to my grandma's head and say, Grandma, guess what I learned today? Osmosis. And they said that if you put something on top of something, it can actually soak in there. I took that lesson from my white science class and then immediately went to my grandma's house, sat by her on the sofa, put my head next to hers and said, Grandma, guess what? I'm putting my head next to you because I need to take all the information out of your brain so it can soak into my head by osmosis. So I need you to soak my head with you and give me some brain. So in light of this, is it coming in? She said, just sit right here, Nyanza, because you told me the right thing. She said, don't have no babies by somebody that you know that you ain't going to be married to forever. That's why I didn't have babies by her first husband. It didn't matter that he had millions. It didn't matter that I had millions. It didn't matter that I was able to have big body Benzes and mink coats and do all this kind of shit. I didn't have to work or do nothing. But I knew I wasn't going to have no baby because he was spending money like a broke person. Broke people spend money and you know it's going to run out. He was going to end up on 30 for 30 broke. So what did I do? Get a whole bunch of insurance on his body to just save him from himself in the future with his ghetto family. But what I knew for sure was don't stay married to him, because if I stay married to him, he gonna run through his money and my money too. So What I did learn from my grandma was this. When you do find your husband, make sure that you marry somebody that's got the right mentals, that who wants to grow wealth. So when she met my papa, who was handsome, he's like, I don't care if you got four kids, because it looks like you're doing just fine by yourself. And you got three or four businesses, and all your sisters and brothers got businesses, and it looks like, dang. Well, let me tell you something about those businesses. Because remember, my grandma, she made her money. My great auntie, her sister, made her money having the brothel. But guess what? Guess what? As an additional service being offered at the rooming house, you got the buck profits coming in there. Well, my great uncle, who was my grandma's brother, his name was Wallace. Well, guess what Wallace decided to do as his profession? He realized the black man was going to always have racist white cops trying to bash men. He was living out there in Killeen, Fort Hood area. So he decided he would just become a pimp. He thought that pimping, he had the gift of gab. That's probably where I get it from. It's been generational because I sit up listening to him and all the smart people in my family. So he decided to become a pimp. All right. And I'm not talking about a basic pimp like y'all be seeing these people on walking around with these golden chalices around their necks. No, I'm talking about a real bona fide pimp, so good at pimping that he was traveling to Mexico. Do you hear me? Traveling to Mexico to get the Mexican women to bring him up here to stay at the rooming house, bringing the prostitutes in to make some money off the black sailors and black privates that wanted to come in and sleep with some women. Because he wasn't pimping out black women, honey. He wasn't prostituting black women. He was prostituting Mexican women from across the border. So let me tell you something. If you got a rooming house that's owned by your sister, and down at the lobby is a beauty shop where my grandma is doing the hair of the prostitutes. So when they come in from Mexico, they looking good. And then guess what? I had another auntie that was proficient at giving medical services without a license. So guess what? Now, you got a pimp, Uncle Wallace, who brought in, they used to call him Chi-Chi. So he brought in his broads to the rooming house to sleep with the black privates at the rooming house. Then my grandma was doing their hair to make sure they look good. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Just in case they got a little bit pregnant, my Aunt Tacy would come in with my Aunt Chiba and provide medical abortions without a license with a coat hanger. Do you hear me? So you have a system where the grandparents were slaves, the daddy was a sharecropper, had five children, one man, four daughters that all created their own circle of economic wealth. So much so that in their flat, they all had so much money that let me tell you what my Uncle Wallace did. Yes, he was one of the wealthiest black men off all that pimping. And since pimping ain't easy, but it was easy for him, he made so much money that he married his bottom B. For those of you who don't understand what that means, it's his bottom B-I-T-C-H. That was his highest grossing prostitute that he married. And that became his wife. So she became Chi-Chi and Auntie. So what did they do? Now you got all these people on my mama's side. Well, when my grandma married my pawpaw and my pawpaw saw what time it is with the way that the economic empowerment was, which was keeping that black dollar in. I mean, come on. You got non-doctors on staff giving abortions. You got a beauty shop down at the basement with my grandma. You got the house was going to be clean because the aunties giving abortions were also housekeepers too. Everybody had two hustles. They were bringing in the prostitutes from Mexico, so you didn't have to worry about pimping out your own kind. See, it wasn't like the black dope dealers that was pimping the drugs in their own communities. No, they weren't doing that because they also taught, we got to empower black people. Let the Mexicans who want to come across the border and give it away. Don't worry about getting pregnant. We're going to go ahead and give you an abortion. And they never had anybody bleed out. They never have anybody to die. So let me tell you something. It don't take a whole lot of rocket science to give an abortion to make sure you can provide 100% of the services. Because what did my Uncle Wallace do when he decided to go ahead and marry his bottom B? He decided to take all of his cash and go ahead and go down to Corpus Christi, where the biggest gangsters were. You know, the Spanish speakers. Because he spoke Spanish too, baby. And he had a gold tooth. Let me tell you something. My grandma had a gold tooth in the front of her face right here. My Uncle Wallace had two gold teeth right here. Back in the day, that was a sign of money. Now, it's a sign of money, but the people that got him ain't got no money. Back then, you really, really, really did have money. And the reason why they got gold teeth, and my daddy ended up getting a gold tooth listen. My daddy got a gold tooth when he walked across the border in Juarez, when he was drunk with my mama's brother. Okay? They went down there to Mexico, got some gold teeth, and came on back. That was the thing then. But let me tell you something. My Uncle Wallace went down to Corpus Christi and he bought his own car dealership. He was the first black man to ever own a car dealership in Corpus Christi. And let me tell you something about my Uncle Wallace. When a black man was making that kind of money back then, they all knew that he used to walk around with a briefcase that had $100,000 in cash stacks back then. When I said, give me the loot, give me the loot. Give me the loot, give me the loot. Unfortunately, he died by gun violence. Yep, had too much money. They didn't like those white people down there, and those Mexicans didn't like that a Negro came to town in Corpus Christi and had a brand new car dealership. Yes, a brand new car dealership, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what? It was a Cadillac car dealership. Do you hear me? Because all the women in my family on my mama's side drove Cadillacs. And that's why my mama drives one to this very day. Well, let me tell you something. All of those women made money. They all knew how to become rich. They all died with money. They all died owning a whole bunch of land that had to be distributed amongst the children. We literally still have land. So what happens? My papa says, we're not dealing with this Jim Crow. After Uncle Wallace moves to go be in Corpus Christi, the boarding house gets shut down because ain't Sheba, ain't Tansy. They started getting married off. They still ran their little businesses. They had their own businesses, but they were all rich. So once that happened, the next thing you know, well, my papa, my grandma always knew how to pick them. He said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get stationed in Paris, France. So my mama was taken to Paris with her siblings when she was in junior high. She was out there in Paris, France, in the French school. Not in the black school for the French, in the French school, speaking fluent French. The only time she came back to Belton, Texas was her senior year of high school. She came back to Belton, Texas because she needed to go to her senior year in high school so that she could be here to apply to Prairie View. Okay, so my mama came back here, bypassed all that racist crap because she came from the money, 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 and she was raised with money, 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 money. So Papa and Grandma loaded up the Cadillac and drove Joyce with her French speaking behind down to Prairie View. And my daddy said, one of the best conversations I ever knew. You know, they had that show, How I Met Your Mother. Well, I used to listen to my daddy say it all the time. And my mom would just be smiling. He said, let me tell you how I met your mama. On the day that Cadillac, I saw your grandma and papa's Cadillac driving up on Prairie View's campus, and they had a big old trunk with a hitch on the back of it. And when I said, ooh, who driving up in that brand new Cadillac? And I saw your mama get out with that big old booty shoes. Bam! Your mama had a body on her. Your grandma stepped out of that Cadillac. Your papa stepped out of that Cadillac. They just looked like money. They carried that trunk up to that dormitory. I looked over there, and when I saw your mama, I said, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. When I saw her walking up into the baby dome, I said, I'm going to have that woman. I'm going to marry that woman. And guess what? My mama was so smart that when she came to Prairie View, that was the most black people she had ever seen. And French was basically her language that she had been speaking every day, all day. So then, of course, she was the president of the French club. Of course. And guess who one of her best friends in the French club was? A woman named Nyanza Joe from Missouri City, Texas, was my mama's bestie because they were in the French club at Prairie View called Les Belles Lettres. Yes, the French letters. My mama still got her French sweater, and I'm going to probably end up wearing it on the show when it gets a little cooler. So my mama is at Prairie View. My daddy spots money coming. My mama was a good girl because, listen, nobody was giving it up. Because remember, when you send your daughter to college and you don't send her there for an MRS, she ain't going to have no whole lot of sex. My mama went to college a virgin. You know why? Because she went to college at 16 years old. Yes, she did. Because remember, in the United States of America, they act like black people can't learn. In France, they teach you the curriculum. And if you can get the French language and go to class and where they're speaking only fluently French and you make an all A's and they double promote you and you go ahead and graduate, you came to 15 years old in your senior year in high school in Belton, went to Prairie View, met a rich dude from North Carolina, told your grandma and papa about it. My grandma said, I didn't like your daddy when I met him. Mm-mm. Sure didn't. I could tell that he was a cat daddy. So what happened? And my grandmother made it abundantly clear. And this is why I wanted to tell you all. This is what you need to tell your children. This is what you need to tell your daughters. You don't raise your children to be gold diggers. All right, that's number one. Because if you raise them to look for a guy with money, then they're going to feel like they need to use their body or their looks to get the guy with the money and give him physically everything they can to make him want them to want to marry them. Well, what my papa and grandma said and how they raised us, because remember, they are Pentecostal. If you don't know what Pentecostal means, baby, let me tell you something about Pentecostal back in the 1950s. Is an extreme religion. All right? I still think it's extreme. Couldn't even wear nothing but skirts and not wear makeup. But anyway, so when you raise your children and you raise your one daughter, that number one, you don't have babies out of wedlock. Number two, you're not going to have sex until you're married. Number three, the moment you got a man and you marry him, we don't pay for anything for you again. Because you better marry a man that can take care of you and that can figure out a way on his own. Because we pay for everything. Papa and grandma believe. Your job is get down there and make some A's. You going down there and get your degree. All right? So my mama was down there. She met my cat daddy, Daddy. And listen, let me tell you something. My daddy was laying on the game, baby, because he still had game a long time. My mama met him. He said, I'm going to marry you when you turn 18. What did she do? By the time the day my mama turned 18, my daddy said, okay, let's get married. I'm going to take care of you. And then what happened? They got married. My papa and grandma was mad. Because guess what? They said, okay, Joyce, you decided to get married before you got your degree all the way? That's fine. We know Ernest's family is rich. So now we're cutting you off. We love you. Come here and eat every time you want to, but we're not paying for college education no more. We've done our job. So what happened? My daddy said, okay, I'm a grown man. My daddy dropped out of Prairie View, joined the Air Force to pay for Joyce to finish college. Yes, he did. So what did he do? Let my mama get the, he said, okay, we married now. I'm going to get married. I'm signing up for the United States Air Force. My daddy automatically was put into the intelligence division because let me tell you, my daddy was a genius. He was a genius. My daddy was one of the smartest people. And let me tell you something, it ain't a lie. I'm smart. My daddy was smarter than me. And let me tell you something, the United States government knew how smart he was because when him and all of his friends decided and all of his family, all the men in North Carolina, when Ernest said, hey, I'm going to join the Air Force, they said, hey, they're going to pay for college. And that way we can go ahead and save our money to buy some extra land. And I got me one of these Texas girls down here and her family is rich. They got their own land too. So I'm going to marry her because, you know, she ain't the other kind. I got to marry her if somebody else scoops her up. So they get married. My daddy goes into the Air Force. He thought he was going to be stationed with his homeboys. No. Or his cousins. No. He got stationed in intelligence. They automatically put him in. He tested off the charts so much that the white colonel had to come be like, you know what? Mr. Davis, we're not going to go ahead and put you in with the black others. We're going to go ahead and put you in intelligence. And we're going to have you decoding Morse code. And that's what you're going to do. You're never going to see a front line. And that's what my daddy did. So because his score was so high, Baylor University, Baylor Law School offered him a full law school scholarship, baby. Let me tell you something. But my daddy said, I couldn't go to Nyanza. I was going to be a lawyer, but I couldn't go to law school because I had married your mama. I had to get your mama graduated from college. I had to go get in the military just to make sure I got the benefits to take care of your mama. And since I didn't have to worry about getting killed up in any wars, since I was only working in intelligence, I was guaranteed a job to come in at a high level to work for the federal government. And so what happened? All the other smart men from North Carolina that were related to my dad, once they finished their tours of duty, that one time when they know that once they signed up, they got the GI Bill benefits, they got to make sure that they were always going to be guaranteed. Well, they were all smart because they were all college educated. So what did they do? They all ended up working on either on Capitol Hill or at the Pentagon. And to this day, 90% of the people in my daddy's family in the North Carolina side are working for the government. And they're not working in no menial jobs. No, they're not the butler. They're not up there cleaning up nothing. They're up there working for the FBI. They're working in special forces. They're working at the Pentagon. They're doing criminal investigations on a federal level. And baby, let me tell you something. They all are smart. They all have their own businesses on the side. They all, on my daddy's side and my mama's side, ain't none of them ever had no baby out of wedlock because they knew that you got to build your wealth, which also that means this. You better marry somebody who's of sound mind when it comes to money and equally yoked when it comes to faith because you got to make sure you marry somebody that you got to keep your wealth pooled in the black community. Once you get your loot, you don't need to go get the raise on your job or go get the promotion and go out there and buy a bigger house, you dummy. You don't need to go out there and celebrate your promotion by buying a brand new S-Class. I'm going to get the 2022. All that kind of crap. You need to be out there and be like, oh, I'm glad I got a raise. I'm going to go ahead and buy that investment property. Oh, and guess what? I saved up so much, I can go buy cash. If you were smart, then you would realize like I do. Let me tell you something, black people out there. You can say what you want to. I haven't even been to Houston. I'm not a Houstonian. I'm not a Texan. I was born in North Carolina and raised around rich black people that didn't have to take nothing from white folks. And then anytime I was in Belton with my grandma and all those rich black folks out there, we saw everything from people had been to, I had a pimp, a hairstylist, and somebody giving abortions with a hanger. I didn't have no problems. There was a little bit of gun violence because you know that when you live by the gun, you die by the gun. And when you're that rich, there's going to be people taking you out. But one thing I always knew, that you are more empowered. Because guess what? If you need a loan at a bank, they're going to ask how much are you worth. If you ain't got but $10 in your bank account, in your savings account, and your checking account, it doesn't effing matter if you happen to be the deed owner to 5 or 6 different lots around the city or anywhere you can find them. Because what white people know is this. The white man at the counter, even at Racist But Wells Fargo, knows very well that a black person that walks in there with 10 or 11 properties is rich. Because they understand rich is not in greenbacks, honey. That's nouveau riche. Rich is in land ownership, especially when black people buying land means you're buying it even though you were entitled to get it for free because you didn't get your reparations. You didn't start out with your 40 acres. So if you have enough sense to get these college degrees, get your college education paid for by going into the military. Now, I'm saying don't go into the military now because I know that they're racist. They're going to send all the black people to the front lines. That's what they're going to do. I'm saying if you are a smart person, you need to join the Air Force. You need to go on into an intelligence. If your mama is a single mama, you better sign your butt up for some dadgum U.S. military, because that way you know you're going to have your veterans benefits. Because guess what? My mama's still getting checks. My daddy been dead for a few years. And guess what? My grandma, my pawpaw, all of my grandmother's sons went into the military. All of them. So my mama didn't do military because she came from wealth already. And then my grandma basically said, you better marry a man with some money. Because if you in love, you better not come out here with no babies, number one. And let me tell you something. I wouldn't even know if my mama ever even got pregnant, because you know you lie to your kids that you never had sex until you get married anyway. My daughter don't know I've been married to somebody before. She'll never gonna know it until she's probably on her third child when she gets married. She's only 13 today. But what I'm telling you is this. If my mama was married before my daddy, I wouldn't have known it. If my mama got pregnant before she ever got married to my daddy and got pregnant with my sister in 1968, I never would have known it. Because more than likely, if she was a black girl that was had anything about her, if she was one of my mama's friends, she probably got a schmushmortion by my mama's auntie at the rooming house and was able to go back to Prairie View after getting pregnant. So let me tell you something. Black girls out there, you think you got all these religious hang-ups? Well, let me tell you something. Abortion is a medical procedure. You can put your morals into it if you want to, if you're white. You can put your morals into it if you want to, if you're Mexican, and anything else. If you're black, you cannot financially afford to have a baby out of wedlock. No, you cannot. If you have already done what Nyanza Davis Moore, because Davis is my daddy's family name, and Moore is my husband's name, then you need to make sure that you already got your coins together. If you own your own rental property. Now, if you own a rental property, here's what I need you to do. You black women out there, stop going out there buying all these big old cribs just because you got a good job. If I see another one of you dummies moving to the suburbs where the white people are, now I live out there with the white people and I love it in the suburbs, but I'm married with children, okay? I belong in the suburbs. If you're a black woman and you are of a particular age and you're like, well, I'm making over $150,000 a year, I can buy my own crib. It was on my bucket list to buy my own house. Well, you're a dumb butt. Because guess what? You should have stayed your ass living in an apartment. If you're one person and you ain't got no husband and no kids, why you need a big old crib in the suburbs? What you trying to prove? Are you trying to prove to all your married friends that you're not missing out? No. What you should have done with your dumb behind, since you're living Negro rich, you dummy, you should have taken your money, paid for an apartment that was like $2,000 a month or less, and then taking all that extra overflow cash money from your job and bought a couple of rental properties. If you were smart, you would say, hey, Nyanza, I heard you say about maybe 10 years ago, weren't you the trustee appointed for foreclosures? Weren't you the attorney for Bank of America? Weren't you the attorney for Countrywide? Weren't you the attorney for Chase Bank, Wells Fargo, and all them that was doing all these foreclosures? And weren't you the one that was saying every time somebody would see you that, hey, y'all, I know y'all not listening out here. Before the economic bubble burst in 2008 with all those subprime loans lenders, I was the lawyer representing the banks. Let me tell you that. That means I'm smart. I was the lead attorney in Texas okay, for Bank of America, JP Morgan, and the and Countrywide, all of the banks, Wells Fargo, all the racist banks. I was the lead attorney because I was the trustee designated to foreclose on the properties of all those subprime loans that all these wannabe rich, faking it rich black people and white people living above their means that got in these balloon mortgages, you dummies. You don't need no balloon mortgage. If you got a, let me tell you something. There's a whole lot I want to teach you. And if you're going to have to tune into, you're going to have to tune into NyanzaLMoore.com after this show. And then you can live stream me on Facebook and Instagram. Cause I'm going to tell you, here's the secret. On the first Tuesday of every month in the history of every month in Harris County, Texas. Now that is Houston for you all that are listening to me from afar. On the first Tuesday of every month, they have a foreclosure sale, an auction. Every first Tuesday of the month. That means they have one last Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Down there at the family courthouse in the lobby, where every single property that's being foreclosed on, you can pay for with cash. You can't have no mortgage. You can't have no wire transfer. You gotta come like my Uncle Wallace with $100,000 in a briefcase. Now see, a black man doing that, you're gonna get shot and robbed. My uncle was gunned down in the middle of the street in the afternoon when he was walking across the street to his Cadillac car dealership. Gunned him down. They didn't even take the money. They just wanted the Negro dead because he wouldn't sell his car dealership to a white man. Okay? So that's number one. So, but in the days of now, you got to go down there with your briefcase cash money on the first Tuesday of the month and you get to buy any property that you want. You black women out there trying to impress each other, you're dumb. Because guess what? It was very easy for my grandma to get husband number 1, 2, 3, and 4. Because guess why? She had her own loop and she was smart. And to this day, when my grandma died, there were people that showed up at her funeral. And my grandma died, 15 years ago, 16 years ago? She died. There were people that showed up in her funeral that were white and black that I had never seen before in my life. I saw one group of Mexicans that I had never seen before except for one time when I was a little girl. And do you know, they stood up at my grandmother's funeral speaking Spanglish. Y'all know that's Spanish and English. Saying, I'm here today to say that one of the best people that affected my life and my family, this is one after another, was Doris and Henry Page. And Doris Page is the only person who would sell a house to me and let my immigrant wife and have me raise children here. And I got to raise my family in a home. And she actually had a place where she said on my death that if you have paid off your home, and now that you are just paying the rental, that on my death, you will be deeded the property for you to own so that you and your family can be like our family. There were countless numbers of people who spoke at my grandmother's funeral because she allowed them to rent to own, paying rent of like $75 a month. A month. Even when they didn't have it, they got to stay. So here's how God does. God will bless you indeed if he has blessed you with empowerment and you can still find a way to empower somebody who's starting off even lower than you. Because you got a black woman and a black man owning land everywhere. Because let me tell you what my dad, so all these people now have to, they got home ownership from a black woman. So I'm going to tell you for next week, you need to listen in because I'm going to give you some black tips, okay? Some black tips and some poor people tips, honestly. Poor black folks and poor people that you might be able to help out. I'm going to give you some tips on how you can probably end up being a millionaire in about what? 180 days, very easily. I'm telling you. And if you got that business that you were trying to start, Girl, don't start that business just yet. Wait till you listen to my show for next week, because I'm going to give you the keys to economic freedom. Because what these white folks are trying to do, and if you've been watching this January 6th committee do stuff, and you know that they have zero prosecutorial power, and if you know that they even knew all this stuff that Donald Trump and the white folks were doing, and if you saw that the Proud Boys showed up to go ahead and have 31 people ready to go ahead and fight the gay people that were out there marching this week for pride, then you should be ready. You need to have your own money. You need to be the only one at your job that employs you. You need to be in a position where you have several properties, and I'm going to tell you how to do it. Mm-hmm. You want to know I'm richly blessed indeed? Because I have a whole lot of inheritance coming my way. And I want my mama to live forever because she gave me the tools to have my own riches. And guess what? My husband thinks the same way because he was raised the same way. You got to marry. See, I married a multi-millionaire marquee player playing first string for the Dallas Cowboys the first time around. Millions in the bank, in our checking account and our 15 savings account. I left the marriage with millions without a baby. It was easy for me to find another husband because I had no kid holding me down. Plus, I had a whole lot of money and a couple of degrees. And I knew what to do with my money. And I knew I was going to have an apartment until I met my next husband. Well, let me tell you something. When you're a woman that's about your business, it ain't hard to find a man to marry you. Because I'm sorry, Eric Moore proposed to me in 35 seconds. Do you hear me? You got to be the marrying kind. So black women out there buying all these big old houses and buying all these big old cars, you're dumb. You're buying yourself a way to singledom for the rest of your life. You're buying your way to be single mama the rest of your life. If your money ain't looking beautiful and your face is, then that means you ugly. To every man that walks by you. Because your money looking good and you having the independence, the financial independence, you already know how to stack loot. That means you can marry a king that y'all can build an empire together. Come on now. I'm trying to teach you the way to do it without being Jay-Z, Beyonce, or having to work outside and play with no fields. You ain't got to shut up and dribble. You got to just shut up and listen to me on It's Debatable with Attorney Nyanza Elmore next Thursday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. where I might have a guest coming in. Who do I have coming next week?
Chauncey Glover
from ABC News, the National. He's going to be interviewed on my show. You know, they're bringing in the celebrities for me to interview y'all. Let me tell you something. I'm gonna give you these nuggets. So if you want to learn the nuggets right now, if you already got your check from your paycheck, you might want to go ahead and tune in to Instagram, Facebook, share this because I'm going to keep this one going. But I got to sign off on the radio, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody, you don't need to watch what's going on with the January 6th committee. You already know that it's open season on black folks and Mexican folks and Asian folks and anybody who's gay or disabled, because they try to make sure that the Proud Boys and all the white boys in the Ku Klux Klan can have the South rise again. Bye, everybody. Stay black and think black. Who is holding all these lies? Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, now, let me finish this story for you all. This light is on fire in my face. Make it, listen, I'm a woman of a particular age. Now, you know, I believe that, you know, my hair is curly naturally. But I love to wear a straight bob wig all the time. You know that? Because my hair ain't ever just going to be just straight. Because remember, I got at least 1/16th of Native American in me. So here's what I'm going to teach you all. If you know somebody, share this feed to them, because they're going to need to know this. Okay. In lawyerness, all right. Now, my family is raised to do certain things. My dad had 3 daughters, all right. Here's what he taught us. You must always have a traveling degree. A traveling degree means just this. If you're going to have a degree, then you need to make sure that that degree has a certain profession attached to it. So if you are fired or let go, your degree travels with you, your skill set travels with you, and the next day or that afternoon after you're in the morning firing, you can hire yourself, okay? There are only a few traveling degrees that'll let you do that. Now, there are some vocational degrees that would be having your cosmetology license, one, having your barber license, 2. Then you could also be like my mom's brother, her last living brother. He went to the military, lives on a pension now. His job, his traveling license was having an 18-wheeler, having a CDL. He used to drive across the country. The women that he married to, you know, all the people in my marriage, everybody in my family gets married multiple times. So I just basically fell right in line. You know what? Because guess what? If you marry somebody and you realize they're a loser or they don't have a good financially economic sense, you need to leave them. Don't be afraid to divorce somebody that's got money if you can see that long term they don't know how to keep their money or make it grow. So let me tell you this other part. So you can drive a CDL. And let me tell you something. If you are a person that dropped out of high school, if you are a person that has a felony, then you need to hurry up and do one of those professions. Get your CDL to become a long-haul truck driver. Save your money. Don't get nobody pregnant. Only use prostitutes when you're on your long hauls. You don't have to judge me. Remember, my uncle was a pimp. So, only deal with prostitutes, because you know a prostitute, you ain't got to worry about her getting pregnant and try to sell your ass down. Because guess what? In Texas, if you have a long-haul truck driver, because you need to do all those long hauls without a wife. You need to do all those long hauls without children. Do it as soon as you get out of the penitentiary. Get your CDL. Start driving. Drive 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Don't get no infractions. Don't do anything to get a DWI to make you lose your CDL. Drive safely. All of your checks, stack the loot, and then go buy a truck. Do you hear me? If you sack the loot and you don't have child support to pay from some hood rat, if you ain't got no wife that's at home, where you at? Why you got to take so many drives? Why you got to drive all the time? I can't never see you at home. You ain't never home. This ain't going to be working for our marriage. You got to be here. Don't marry nobody until you got your stuff straight. So I'm telling you, black men, only 1% of 18-wheeler commercial drivers are women. So I'm talking to men, black men specifically. You figure you can't find no job? Go get your CDL. You got a college degree and you ain't got no wife and you just got laid off from your job and you got college tuition to pay. You got a couple of choices. Get your CDL and start driving long haul. Then you can just deal with hookers. Okay? And don't do the cheap ones. Go and get you an escort to meet you at the truck stop. You know what you need to do? Go ahead and get a cab like my uncle had. You need to get yourself a truck that has its own sleeper car. Because let me tell you, because the men in my family, the ones that are the Texas men in my family, went to the military because they had the knowledge and they knew that on the base, they needed the benefits, they needed the pensions because they all had their own business. But you can't get no 401k after your own business. Not back in the day, not back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s. Okay. So if you have your own business, and then you need to make sure you don't have no wife saddling you down so you can make as much loot as possible. And if you do have your own business and then you do end up getting pregnant or you marry somebody that you just don't like him no more, you just don't like her no more, don't have no kids with the person that you don't think you're going to. You know from day one, once you cross that line and get married, you know good and well if you're going to stay married to him forever or just for now. Okay? Let me tell you something. I stayed on birth control for so many years before I met my first husband that I was like, well, no, it ain't gonna happen. All my dumb friends were like, girl, you gonna have a baby now? I wish I would have a baby. Why do I need to have a baby? I'm entitled to half of everything. I don't even need a dog. All the loot that comes in the house. Now, mind you, he had children by other people. I didn't care. Because guess what? So long as he had those dumb baby mamas that were dumb enough to try to think that they need to have a baby by a dude that wasn't married to them just so they can get child support. I'm sorry. I was smart enough to calculate. You make more money being the ex-wife than being a baby mama. Do you hear me? When you're a wife, the state of Texas makes laws that say they got to give you the community property. Do you hear me? Jerry Jones and my mama and my daddy told my ex-husband he needed a prenup. He said, no, I don't need one. Because if she has the kind of woman I am, if I got to get a divorce from Nyanza, if I do something to make her want to leave me, then she deserves half. Because she's the best thing I'm going to ever have. Because I already know. She still works. And he had retired his mama. He had retired three of his mama's best friends. He had five homeboys traveling with us everywhere we went. And they didn't have a job. His two sisters that he had, they didn't work. They're loser butt husbands. They quit their jobs and then none of them work. But when he married me, I was like, No. I met you when I was studying for the bar. I'd already had my offer from the big white law firm. But my mom and daddy are not impressed by you playing for the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-mm. They're not, because nobody in your family has a college education. And so my mom and daddy thought that during the off season that you would have gone and gotten your degree if you only had like 10 credits left. you, we know that you're a millionaire, but the way I was raised is that I'm not impressed by your money, and I don't care what kind of car you drive because I have a traveling degree. My degree, wherever I go, I'm going to always be employed because my dad said you got to do a traveling degree. Beauty shop, barbershop, drive a car, go into the military, or become a veterinarian or a pharmacist. And I ain't talking about the kind of pharmacists y'all used to see around Houston. Nah. You know, I love that Texas Southern University has a great pharmacy program because they graduate a whole lot of black pharmacists, and I know a lot of them. But let me tell you something. That ain't what my mom and daddy was talking about. No. My mom and daddy were talking about you get your pharmacological degree, you go work for a pharmacy, and then you use all of your checks since you're going to live below your means, and then you open up your own pharmacy. Okay? And then you open it up where you got a whole bunch of black doctors in one business building, and you have your pharmacy down below, so they send all their patients down there. You create your own market, your own black demographic with the black doctors that are going to say, do you hear me? Then my daddy said, you can be a lawyer. Well, I said, well, you know, I want to fight for civil rights. He said, yeah, if you're a lawyer, then number one, this is what my daddy said to three daughters. You're all pretty. We know that. Only your daddy will tell you the truth about you. Men will lie when they realize you come from something. Don't tell nobody how much your family got. It ain't your money. You need to be such that you have your own money. Because my mom and daddy said this. We've equipped you with the tools that you need. Our job is to put you in college. They designed it that way. One college graduate goes, one person goes into college, which was Tanya. She got her 5 years of my mom and daddy's money paying for college. Then my turn was up going to A&M. Then once I graduated, then it was time for my sister to go to Spelman. So never did they have two people in college at the same time, because that would be dumb. So that's the reason we were not stair-step children. One, blah, blah, blah. When everybody said, oh, you had your kids all that. Yeah, I did, you dummies. Because, I mean, my husband needed to make sure we were economically paid. We didn't have no baby in no apartment. We didn't have no baby when we didn't have to loot. No. The house that we bought when we were married, first of all, my husband already had his own place. We living right up there in the Galleria. He already had a condo. No kids. He didn't have no baby mama nowhere. So I'm talking about my second husband. And he didn't realize I was coming to the, he didn't realize I was coming to the marriage with a whole lot of loot. Mm-mm. Because I didn't wear my money. No. I just kept it in the bank. And I didn't have to work. But I worked. Because when you have a traveling degree, you can hire yourself. So long as you work for yourself, you can determine how much money you're going to make by how hard you're going to work for yourself. If you're a bad boss, if you're lazy, then you should fire yourself and go work on the plantation. Okay? Or do something else. But you must be able to create your own wealth. And if you're smart and you can create just a little bit of wealth and you manage to not have no baby and not, okay, take it, and not to have no husband who's a loser, and not to do nothing like spend a whole bunch of money like you're going to get your dumb butt as a single woman and 30-year fixed mortgage, you dummy. You're going to get a 30-year fixed? So what man going to marry you? You got a 30-year fixed mortgage, and you shouldn't be buying no house that has a 30-year fixed mortgage. You should be able to live in an apartment so that when you do meet the love of your life, the man that can take care of you and you want to have babies with, then you ready roll. Because it's easy to break an apartment lease, but it's hard to get out of a 30-year fixed. And if you marry the kind of man that wants to move into your house, do you hear me? I got to stand up on that. If you marry the kind of dude, and you're one of those black women that's got all this loot, because you think, I'm going to get paid. I got to on my bucket list. I got to get a house. You living in Siena. You living over there in Siena, or you living over there in River Oaks or in the Galleria with all these other people that have actual children that need an HOA because we have to have the public school. You ain't even got a kid in the public school. Why would you want to go move out to the suburbs to pay taxes for the school system and you ain't got no kids? And you're over 50, so you ain't about to have none. You ain't Janet Jackson. She married us. Listen, Janet Jackson's daddy told her, you better marry somebody with more money than you. Guess what? Let me tell you something. You must be a woman who's smart enough to say, oh, yeah, I'm living in my apartment. Mm-hmm. I'm driving my little Honda Accord or my little BMW that's like a 2012. Yeah, it's paid off. Yeah, I got an apartment. Mm-hmm. But I have four rental properties that I get loot from every month. So I don't need to have a mortgage because I have four rental properties, which means if she meets a man who already has a crib, he might have a mortgage that's a 30-year fixed on a little bitty crib that's like 1,500 square feet. Who cares how big it is? It's not about the square feet. It's about the square loot, you dummy. You shouldn't be concerned about the square feet that you live in. You need to be worried about the square feet that you're renting for other people to live in and pay you money. Because the only way for you to pay off your mortgage before that 30-year fix is done is if you got five or six different people paying you rent checks. Because you were able to be smart and follow Nyanza's rule. And since Nyanza was the trustee representing the banks when I had to sell all those houses, I am privy to every single property that's about to come up on the foreclosure list. Do you hear me? And I have been since 2004. I have known in Harris County on every, I said, oh, okay. I know when they have the 90-day acceleration of the loan, because I was the one where I was the mortgage banking expert working for the banks. Do you hear me? I had lawyers underneath me that were all white. I was the black girl doing all of the, anytime Bank of America needed a litigator, if it was something penny, any small, I would send the white lawyers out there, be like, okay, I have a little hearing over there. You need to go out there. Okay. Well, if the bank would call, attorney Moore, are you sure you need to let one of the other, we would prefer for you to go down there. I mean, you're foreclosing on a house that's like $700,000. Okay, that's fine. I'll go down there. I've practiced in all 54 counties in the state of Texas. I don't know another lawyer who can say that they've done that unless they've actually done my line of work. Mortgage banking attorneys, there weren't any except for me in 2006 and 7 and 8 before the bubble burst. Do you hear me? So if I'm representing the banks, then I'm the one who understands the hook, because I gotta defend the banks. I gotta help the banks to all these people that weren't paying their mortgages. I'm the one who saw how to get a loan modification. I didn't need a loan modification at the time, because my husband, I remember we were raised by smart black people. So when I told Eric, I said, baby, he said, how long are you gonna stay on the plantation? I said, well, you know what? I'm in charge of the Texas office. I've only had my law license for 4 or 5 years, but since I run everything and I'm the attorney in charge, I'm learning a lot because I'm the trustee for the bank. So I'm the one down there on Tuesdays, every first Tuesday of the month, selling the houses to the highest bidder. Now, here's what you need to know. If you are a person that has listened to me, I've already told you that if you go down to the auction on that first Tuesday, you have to have cash in your Gucci bag. You have to have the cash in your briefcase to bid. Guess what? I only used to see the white boys down there. The white boys with the briefcase full of the loot, ready to see. And sometimes they would come up to me knowing that I was the bank. I used to have at least 100 properties on every first Tuesday of the month from every different bank. I would just go down the list and I already knew which smart investors were coming to buy houses for me. So I'm like, oh yeah. Because guess what? They were smart buying the houses for cash. And guess what? They didn't have to actually have the liquid cash in their bank, but because they already had 3 or 4 other investment properties, they could go down to their banker and say, hey, I need $50,000 cash loan. Okay, well, I need cash and I need you to give it to me in the next 20 days because I want to buy some more properties. The bank is not going to look at how much money they got in the checking account. The bank is going to look like, what does your portfolio look like? They're not going to say, how many stocks and bonds do you have? They want to act like, how much are you worth? And since land beats everything unless you manage a hedge fund, then they see that you already have 4 or 5 other rental properties. They already know that you're worthy because they want to help you get more money because they want to give you that extra $50,000 so you can buy 3 more properties. Do you know I used to sometimes sell houses for $8,000? Do you hear me? I used to sometimes sell houses for $10,000, $8,000, $11,000. So if you're out there and you're a black woman and you think that it's more impressive to go get your butt a house in the suburbs because you can get a mortgage, who gives a shit? You're a dumbass. Do you hear me? If you're one of these black women out there that wants to live in a high rise or whatever, why don't you go get an apartment like you used to live in college, stack your loot and have the cash that you need, because that first house that you buy, you haven't been listening to Nyanza. So you don't have a big old portfolio. See, because if I really wanted to go buy a house, I'd be like, well, I have a whole lot of land. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm rich in North Carolina and over there. Because guess what? My daddy, he told the people in his family about Texas. And guess what? One of them moved down and said, okay, I'm going to Texas then. Went down here, graduated from college in Texas, and then realized after graduating, moved to El Paso, where they had all the land, when they were not letting black people buy land. Only in El Paso would they let the black people buy land. My Aunt Hattie out there, Hattie Desboyne, one of them Indians from my daddy's side, went out there, had 35 different rental properties. Do you hear me? She retired from working at the age of 50. She told me she died at 99 years old. One of the last conversations I had with Aunt Hattie, because I was doing my research, because now that I was like, okay, well, now I'm at the age where I need to be off. Literally, you can take these down. Mm-hmm. What she told me was this. She said, well, Nyanza, yeah, I graduated. Mm-hmm. And then she was a teacher, because, you know, back when there was teacher back then, they had to teach other black kids from black teachers. She graduated. She pledged Zeta Phi Beta, maybe like 6 years after they were organized. So my auntie in North Carolina, she pledged Delta in the 20s. My auntie in El Paso, she pledged Zeta in the 30s. So my dad was an Alpha. Little Jeff was an Alpha. So you see, when you got all these black people that back were pledging in the day where, listen, everybody just came from slaves. Everybody, grandma was slave. So when you have the knowledge to know what you should be spending your money on, you will stop trying to save your money for those Louboutins. Because, you know, let me tell you something. You could have bought a house from Nyanza when I was selling it as a trustee in the auction. You could have saved 10 pair of Louboutins at $1,000 a piece. You could have bought your ass a shotgun row house. Do you hear me? You didn't, though. But you got shoes that are now out of style and old. And guess what? You ain't worth nothing. So that's why they don't have no problem not giving you no land. Because the banks don't have no problem not giving you a mortgage or SBA loan because you don't know how to spend your money. Sorry. Okay. Did you hear me? I want you to become economically invested in stuff. All right. So when you say that I'm still in the same house that Eric and I built, see, we didn't have to build a starter home. No. Because when you come from people who teach you how to do your money, you know, well, you don't buy a starter home. You buy your home. Because after that, when it's paid off, after that, you're going to have the loot. And you're going to buy several other homes. You ain't impressing nobody. So if y'all out there impressing people, you got a problem. Because if you try to impress me, I know you broke. You hear me? Some of the wealthiest people running around here wearing the same t-shirt every other day. Some of them driving in the same old raggedy cars every day. You think about this, as long as you got a radio and air, you should be okay. That's it. So I'm going to teach you. So next week, y'all might want to tune into next week's episode, because I'm going to teach you how to get rich. Because obviously you don't know. Because the fact that we're even still worried about how these white folks treat us, and the fact that we're even still worried about whether or not they're going to hire us at jobs, that means you're doing the wrong thing. I don't know anybody in my family who actually didn't have their own business. Period. Do you hear me? It's a family full of women. The first lesson is, a dude ain't going to marry your butt if you broke. A dude ain't going to marry you just because you think you're looking cute. Walking around in a Gucci, Chanel, Fendi, and Prada, all a man sees is how much that costs. He's like, oh, she walking around all that drip. I ain't about to pay for all that. I'm not spending my money off of that bad stuff. I'm not spending my money on material things. And guess what? He's right. That's why he ain't gonna marry you. You know how cute you are. You see all these cute girls that used to be so cute back 10 years ago. You said, oh, girl, she used to be the one. All the guys used to like her. Well, guess what? The hoe is still single because you know what? She spent her money on the wrong stuff. And every dude that she met realizes she wasn't about nothing except for being cute. She wasn't ever gonna have no money. She's too busy spending her money up in the stores. Well, you guess what? She's gonna always be broke. Nobody wants a woman to marry that's gonna always be broke. Men try to marry women that they know just in case the man had to get off the plantation or just in case the man became debilitated and they had three children with their wife, that the wife could hold it down and nobody would have to change their lifestyle. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? That I don't need child support. If I ever had, listen, I was raised, you better not ask for child support. If you have to ask for child support, I don't care who you are. My grandma said, if you have to ask a man for child support, then I didn't teach you right. You need to get a knife and slit your own throat, because that means you didn't learn nothing from the people that you came from. She said it just like that. I said, oh, she said, yeah. Because guess what? If you don't know how to become rich on your own, you need to be able to have money to say, when you want to leave somebody, you leave somebody. So if you got a man that you got to have him paying your rent and your bills and stuff because you didn't figure out how to invest your money, then you're the kind of person that needs child support. You married to one of them athletes, all those stupid women on those shows. You know, I stopped watching Housewives, those dumbasses. Because they were so busy talking about how the men got the loot. Oh, well, you know, my husband's doing this on his business. It's so good. Well, what happens if he cheats on you, you simpleton? What happens? You got to go ahead and sit up and take it. What happens if he decides to start bringing his girlfriend around? Okay, what happens if he does that? What you going to do? You ain't got no money. What if you're married to one of these NBA stars who's known for not paying child support, and all you did was get a whole bunch of Chanel bags, you dummy? You should have had the dude and said, I bet you want to buy another bag? No, I don't want a Birkin. Go get me that row house over there. That's what you should have been doing. Mm-hmm. because you didn't go get your own job. You don't get children unless you know that you can pay for them by yourself. You the mama, you dummy. You ain't got no money to pay for your own kids. I'm mad at y'all. Anyway, I hope you all have a wonderful day. I have to sign off now because I have to take Sherelle, who has no children, who gets to get all this nice teaching from me. She's getting her degree from University of Houston. And the benefit for her listening to me is she already get it from her mama, but she's seen it from a different space. Because see, her mama's Houston. And I come from old school. Remember, I come from people that back in the day before the Civil Rights Act. Do you hear me? This is what my black families were doing. My mama married a man that was equally yoked with her. When you got two parents that are about it, then that kid's gonna be right. They ain't got to worry about taking care of us. That's what I say. We pay for college, we don't pay for graduate school. I said, you don't have to. Because I got the keys to the kingdom, maybe because you taught me everything. Come on now, I'm trying to teach you how to be rich.
Thumbnail.
Oh, yeah. So, I hope you enjoyed today's show. Golly. You know what? I'm about to put a sewing in. Mm-hmm. But get that weave right back up in my head. Okay, let's see the thumbnail. Hold on, y'all. I gotta do my thumbnail. So, you all, I do have a YouTube channel and a podcast in development right now based off my show. And it's gonna be all these videos. Whatever you miss, you need to be letting your kids listen to them so you get economically empowered. Because you might be one of those women in the CUNY homes. You need to hear my voice. I can teach you how to get out of the CUNY home real fast.
You're going
to
look at this one. All right.
Which one is first?
Instagram.
Who is hot?
So you're going to hold it for 15 seconds.
Ready? Ooh, here we go.
Oh, I think you should have that in the... Oh. There you go.
It's hot. First of all, it's hot with these lights, and I'm in menopause.
Okay, you ready? Hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Yeah, I'm holding my old AKA from the last incident. It's so hot in here with these lights. Oh my gosh, I had to wear a tank top. Shoot. Seeing what's gonna happen, my hair gonna start curling up. Okay. Let me go get my sew in. I don't wanna be natural anymore.
Say bye.
Hold on. I'm tired of being natural. I need a relaxer so it can look like, you know, actually I don't need a relaxer. I don't need the creamy pack. I got nice hair. Ready? Thumbnail over here. Which one looking at?
This one.
That's too scary.
Yeah, I'm trying to find one
because
it didn't.
The one back. Okay. Hurry up, Sherelle. This light is hot shining in my face, and I'm sweating. I'm having a hot flash. She's trying to redo the video.
You ready? Say bye.
Bye, everybody. I'm hot.